Travers Cosgrove, Reel 1. Can you tell me where you were born?
North Vancouver, British Columbia.
And what were your parents doing out there?
They were both relatively, no, they had emigrated there before the First World War. He as a municipal engineer, she as a nurse. And some 3 or 4 years later, they were both in North Vancouver. She had left, done her 3 year stint nursing a mission to the Indians near Edmonton. And my father had brought his mother and brother out to join him. And she made it her business to go to the local hospital matron and say, if you've got any Irish girls here who feel lost, send them round to me and I'll give them a cup of tea or something of this sort. And she made them well, because she realised that North Vancouver was a little bit of a wilderness to someone from Europe. And my mother was one of those. And of course, my father by this time was also an officer in the militia, the 6th Canadian Field Company engineers. And not long, there was August, and their unit volunteered to go with the Canadian forces to Valcartier Camp in Quebec, and aboard ship, and they landed at Plymouth in October 1914.
And when were you born?
1920,
Right. Can you give me your date of birth?
9th of October. And my mother managed to get back, I suppose, on an American liner, and they were married in Plymouth in May 1915.
And where were you living when you were born, as it were?
In
When you were brought?
North Vancouver, I was born in the house my father had built for his mother in 1913.
Right. And when did you come back to Britain and come to Britain?
5 years later, my father did various job in forestry, and he became the British Columbia Lumber Commissioner in Toronto, Canada.
Was this after the First World War?
Oh yeah, it's 1925.
Right.
And the British government had then established a forest products research laboratory at Prince's Risborough, and while they had the scientific staff of various disciplines, they were short on experience of in the use of timber, which my father had first of all as a municipal engineer using timber because it was the easiest material available, and which he had been in effect selling as lumber commissioner in Toronto, which was the capital in many ways of Canada as it is now.
So you were born a Canadian citizen.
I'm born a Canadian citizen. I have a Canadian passport.
So
I tried to join the Canadian Army, but they found some medical excuse for not having me, quite wisely.
when was that?
1941.
Right. Okay. So when you moved to Britain, what year was that, and where were you brought up?
25.
25.
I was brought up. Well, this forest products laboratory was temporarily housed at the Royal Aircraft Establishment, Farnborough, so we lived in that area for a while. And when it moved to Prince's Risborough, we found our home in High Wycombe.
And you went to school there?
I went to school there, or to later to boarding schools at
And where were they? Which ones were they?
the Dragon at Oxford and Marlborough College.
Right, okay. And what age did you leave school?
17, 18.
Yeah. With a qualification?
Oh, yes, yes. I went to university to do civil engineering at City and Guilds College, London.
Right.
Uh-huh. So I had taken, besides my school leaving exams, I had taken the intermediate exam as an external student at London University. And so I got direct into what was their second year and had done the first of the 2-year civil engineering course before war broke out. So I was a fairly normal student for that first year. Second year was, rather constrained, but not unduly so, except that we took our final exams as France fell. And we were soon called before what was a sort of a joint recruiting board for the services.
That was in London, was it?
In London.
Do you remember where you went?
Yes, it was. Well, do you remember the War Museum, the museum, Colonial Empire Museum, ran around a large part. It was a gallery left over from the Great Exhibition. And there was a Empire exhibition in them all the time. And there was a wing of that was made available for these interviews.
What part of London was that?
South Kensington. You know, just across from the War Albert Memorial.
So you were all sent there?
The City and Guilds College was right beside there too, so there was no problem at all. I said I wanted to go in the Royal Engineers, and I said, right, well, now the best thing you can do at the moment is to go and get some practical experience. You've got a degree, but really you don't know anything about engineering in practice. I might have done a vacation job with that, but you know. He was quite right. And so I went ahead and did that, and I had wanted to join the London North Eastern Railway Civil Engineering Department, and I went to them in Edinburgh. They had 3 or 4 places where they would take students. And I went to them in Edinburgh in the autumn of 1940.
As a graduate?
No. They took me on as a student.
Right. But you've done your finals.
I had done my finals. London University didn't award me or didn't give me my degree until 50 years later, because you couldn't gather in London safely in the wartime.
Yeah.
Photograph up there, me getting my degree from the Princess Royal 50 years later. I went as an engineering student, strictly. I had passed my final exam. And I was delighted. They sort of broke me in the Edinburgh office, and then I was sent up to Aberdeen as a technical assistant to the district engineer. I was the only sort of technical assistant he had. It had been the office of the Great North of Scotland Railway, but absorbed by the LNER, and the district engineer was very much on his own. And I enjoyed that immensely. And
how long were you there?
18 months, about 18 months. Towards the end of that period was when I tried to join the Canadian Army and came down and went to their medical place, Iverbucks, I think it was, or somewhere there. The hospital they built was handed over after the war. It was a splendid hospital that they had built. And well, I say they found, I think, quite sensibly, because you know I learned the hard way after that. And then I set off and took my piece of paper that I'd had from this. Well, first of all, I presented it when I went to the call up. It was when I was still in Edinburgh.
What was the piece of paper?
Well, it just said that this man is intending to join the Royal Engineers, but is doing civilian training, something like that. So I presented that on a call up, and they, you know, the lads in the office said, you'll be in uniform tomorrow, but I wasn't. And then this was now 18 months later, and so I went to the recruiting office in Aberdeen and said this, now I think it's time I was in uniform. And they sent me to the most senior person there, who, probably a captain, who said, yes, we will, the Royal Engineers have a series of interviews in London for qualified civilian engineers. We'll send you to one of those. Which they did. It was just off Trafalgar Square. And I was evidently... they didn't want to refuse anyone, but I was evidently acceptable, and I and some of the people whom I had been in the group that I had been, I remember we all went together at the same time to an engineer training battalion at, I think it was number 2 engineer training battalion at Barton Stacey.
What did you feel about it? You were seemed quite keen to join up.
Well, you know, this is 1942. Whatever one felt about it, there were subtle pressures.
Mm-hmm. What did your parents think about you joining?
Well, my father had been, of course, in throughout the First World War, so they, you know, they may not have wanted me to be off to France in their terms, but they knew the rules.
Did your mother, was she a bit upset?
Well, she'd been nursing and been bombed by the Germans at her hospital and that sort of thing, so she knew the rules as well as anybody.
Mm. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
No.
Right, so you were the only one.
I was the only one.
Right. So you were at this training unit. What did they actually train you?
Well, what are you to do with a civil engineer who probably knows more about the theory of civil engineering than any of them, but hadn't the faintest idea of what to do on a parade ground? Of course, I had been at school in the officer training corps, and I had taken Certificate A, which in those days qualified you for a Territorial Army Commission. So I was a little unusual amongst the recruits.
So what sort of recruits were you in with?
Well, they were mostly, those that in that batch were mostly civil engineers, and we were soon joined up to, within a month or so, a batch of potential officers brought from other engineer units. They were the majority. We were the minority.
So being new to the army, I mean, what did you sort of think about it? I mean, what was settling in like?
Strange. Yes. But I mean, very wisely, we just did what we were told.
What was the barracks like? What was it like arriving?
Oh, it was a new camp. It was a new camp built at Barton Stacey. I think the training battalion had possibly originally been under the cliff at Shorncliffe, near Folkestone, but they had moved up to Barton Stacey, and it was an excellent camp.
What was your accommodation?
Oh, hutted camps. You know,
wooden huts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, how did you take to stuff? I mean, the first thing. I mean, did you get any sort of reception when you got there? Did you go by train or?
Yes, we went to Andover. We met at Andover, and the lorry, and there were half a dozen of us. At least one. Someone whom I had, who had been on at this interview in Trafalgar Square, and whom, oddly enough, I had met in Aberdeen the next weekend. He was up there visiting Aberdeen, and we'd met one another. So he became a buddy, Ian Gregg, throughout the Octo career. And there were one or two others that... had been with us too, but I didn't know any of these people.
Yeah. How quickly did you settle in? I mean, did you all muck in together quite easily?
That wasn't a problem.
Yeah. There were.
Yes. The others maybe hadn't. Mm. But it was summer. It was. I was used to being encouraged to undertake sporting activities. I had been a cross-country runner, and I was made into the captain of the company team and that sort of thing. So, I imagine I probably settled in better than most.
Yeah. So, what sort of uniform and equipment did they issue you with first off?
Well, just your battle dress. I don't know whether, I suppose we had rifles. And you had a little white flash that you wear at pre-octo. All right? And you would get a white cap band when you went to octo, that you were an officer cadet. But there were no other badges of rank.
So
but
you were all officer cadets, were you? All officer material?
Yes.
In training together? So.
After the first week or two, yes, we may have gone in with a batch that some of whom weren't, but we were soon separated out. Yes, we were sent to there as a pre-octo party.
Do you remember what equipment they issued you with?
Oh well, what you stood up in the spare pair of pants, you know, that was a couple of shirts, a battle dress, and a housewife, at the needlework, yeah. Thing and stuff.
And you got a rifle?
I suppose so. Yeah, we must have it, yes, I suppose so. And of course, I had shot on the range, but yes.
What was the food?
Adequate. We were young and hungry. Adequate. Yes. I don't remember anything special about the food. We were always happy enough to march up to the mess room.
So how did you take to the basic training? So I suppose you've done a lot of that, haven't you?
Well, I hadn't, actually. I mean, an octo is a very simple thing. You aren't really doing detailed military training. You're.
You did square bashing, did you?
We did some square bashing, and I remember one time we were marching up to lunch, and we really got in step, and people, sergeant majors and even the colonel, came out and looked out of the window to see who it was. Marching up the hill. So I suppose we were a good class.
So you had quite a sort of esprit de corps already to sort of do well, didn't you?
Yes, I think so. And then we had a little disappointment because so many of the class were good. There weren't perhaps as many dropouts as normal, but they could only take so many on to octo. And we didn't make it to the... We had to wait for the next class. And...
Was that a big disappointment to you?
Well, it wasn't so much to me, because... I knew how little I... A fellow who'd been 2 years in the army and become a sergeant, there was very little he had to learn. I had a lot to learn, really.
Yeah. So they kept you back there, did they?
Kept it back another month, I suppose, or four, I forget what it was.
And a new intake
came along. A new intake came along and you were merged with them. There were some of the group that were kept back had already been kept back once, and they were a bit despondent. I got them into cross-country running, so...
So did you do guard duties?
I'd probably not there. But we did, of course, at Octu.
Yeah, right. Okay, we'll just deal with this initial bit first. So the sport was obviously quite important.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So the cross-country running as your...
There were quite a few in the headquarters company. They were, you know, regulars who had made sport part of their life. And they were good.
So it was PT, was that something that was...
Yes, I suppose. Yes, it must have been, yes. I don't actually remember, but it must have been.
Did you do boxing?
No. I was too heavy. I was over 12 stone, and they didn't allow anybody over there to do that. I was very thankful I didn't want to do it anyway.
So what recreations did you have while you were there?
Well, you could go out on your bicycle and we could get to Winchester. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was quite a distance, 15 or 20 miles each way.
What did you do when you got to Winchester?
What could you do? Yeah. You had to be back there. So, you know, there'd be there were places up on the downs there where there were... Smoky Joe's and this sort of, where you'd get a good fry up or something of this sort. That's what you went out more than to get a different diet.
So it was food, was it a motivating force?
I think than
beer or dancing.
You were lucky to find a dancing partner up on the that part of Hampshire border there. No, and you just didn't have time to settle down to that sort of thing. You didn't know whether you'd be there the next week.
What was Winchester like?
Well, it was a wonderful place. It was, of course, it was a city, I didn't know it well, but I had been there, of course. Yes, that was a mecca, but it was an awful long way to ride a bicycle.
Did you have much contact with civilians while you were at Barton Station?
No. I got home a couple of times, or I got to Reading here. My home was in Wickham. I got to Reading here where I had friends and cousins. And I got here once. And perhaps my father came over, saw me when I got here. But no, you didn't have any contact with civilians.
Were you following closely the progress of the war through newspapers and newsreels?
Yes, I suppose so. Yes.
Did you have any idea where you might be deployed and what?
Well, this was 1942. The only place where anything was happening was in the Middle East.
So you thought you might be sent there?
We might expect to be sent there, or, you know, and we'd been lost Singapore, had we? Yes. Singapore had fallen, yes, the winter before. So, you know, these were the places where things were happening, or raids on the continent. North Africa and the Middle East. These were the activity centres, and the Battle of the Atlantic.
Right. So, what weapons training did you do in your basic training there?
We learnt about a Bren gun. I was unusual that I had at least seen one in the OTC. That was all the weapons training we saw was rifle, bayonet, and the Bren gun.
And grenades?
I don't remember much about grenades.
Yeah. Did you do anti-gas precautions there?
Yes. I remember that one did succeed in moving around inside a gas mask. Yes. Yeah.
How did you take to that?
I hated them. Wretched things. Yes. I suppose I. Yes. A mild case of claustrophobia, but mild. Yes, that would have been my reaction to the gas mask.
Did you do any tactics and field training as part of your basic training? Any trenches or exercises while you were at Barton's?
No. I don't think so. No. I don't think so.
Did you have any liaisons with other units or?
No, only within the training battalion. We really saw few, we really knew few other than the instructors allocated to us. And they were good chaps, and I remember seeing them and on the subrip when we crossed the Seine, some of the people had been, and others of them on a train journey. You remember them. Mm.
Were these engineering instructors or?
No, they were just, NCOs, yes, it was, they weren't teaching you engineering techniques, teaching you to be a soldier.
Right. Do you remember any of their names?
I could recognise some of them but I do remember one who was coloured, Lance Corporal Phillips.
That was unusual. Was he?
Yes.
Caribbean or?
Yeah, I would think Lance Corporal Phillips. He was the man that. And of course, he realised that I had some background training, which so I was sort of an unclassed Lance Corporal helping him in some ways. But he's him, and I remember Smith, but some of the sergeants I remember as well.
What was the reaction to your contemporaries? Of having a black NCO?
He knew his job. He was perfectly accepted.
Because it was unusual, I
suppose. It was unusual then, and he had to be an unusual person.